Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Edit audio.
You are now listening to season 2 of Podcast Date with Daddy, hosted by myself, Marissa, but I think you call me Daddy now. In this season, you get to join me on some beautiful dates with some extra special people. But today, we've got someone extra special. Someone I've been having a big Instagram crush on for a minute now. We have the one and only Gabrielle Alexa. Gabrielle Alexa is an author, essayist, and sex-positive content creator. She has bylines everywhere, including Cosmopolitan, Huffington Post, Elle, Playboy, and she published her first book, and it's called How to Live with the Internet and Not Let It Ruin Your Life. She made that back in March 2021, and here she is today on a date with me in Hyde Park in Toronto. I made up a cute little picnic for her, so grab a blanket and come join.
Okay, so I turn left in 200 meters.
Hey, do you see me? I'm wearing yellow.
Yes, well, I'm right behind you. Sorry, I'm sick.
Yeah, I know. The park is huge. It's really easy to get lost. I'm so sorry. Have you ever been to Toronto?
No.
Wow, well, welcome.
This is my first time. Hey!
Welcome to the city of queers. I hope you stay for a while.
I'm definitely considering it.
I did set up this little picnic for us. What do you think? There's some snacks, got a charcuterie board. I should have checked. I hope you're not lactose intolerant, because there's a lot of cheese.
I am, but, you know, I always keep my lactaid pills on deck. Like, it's a date, you know?
Sweet. So, where should we start? Do you want something to drink? I've got sparkling water. I've got some canned wine, Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, I love a drink.
Sweet. Here you go. So, tell me about your day.
My day's great. You know, I've been giving a bunch of people presents recently. It just worked out that way. So, I feel like I've been arts and crafting, being the full DIY dyke that I am. I'm not, but I learned how to be that.
Like, what things have you been making?
Well, so I don't know why this is, like, people are into this, but they decorate liquor bottles in glitter, so you have to Mod Podge the glitter on. So I did that. And then I, like, added, like, additional rhinestones. That was pretty lit. And I helped someone build a desk recently, which, that is, you know, it's still a gift, even if it's, you know, an act of service. Yeah, that's really it. That's a lot, though, for me. I don't build anything.
True DIY dyke, okay.
I know. I'm gonna get a whole toolkit.
You should. And rhinestone it.
Ooh, we have to.
You have to.
How about your day?
My day has been kind of tiring. I've been driving around a lot for work today. And between that and, like, setting up for this picnic, it's a beautiful day. I'm just gonna let the universe do its thing. I don't know how to say this. Let's go on a date right now?
Let's start the date.
Let's start the date. Okay. Wow, the awkwardness of dating. So, speaking of dates, what's your ideal date?
I love dates where I'm doing things with people. I feel like I hate small talk, I guess. Mm. So I always try to pick a date that's like an activity. I'm a huge, like, I love escape rooms. So I've taken a lot of people on escape room dates, and it honestly teaches you a lot about the person. I hosted a date auction, and then one of the guys who was being auctioned was really cute. His bio was like matching my vibe, I guess. So I bid on him, and I took him to an escape room, and he was the worst at the escape room. Like, I was like, wow, he's hot. Like, you know, I'd hit, but like, we're not gonna date, because he kind of like gave up. He wasn't like... He was like very easily defeated, and I feel like it's like so low risk. It's just an escape room. Yeah. So just participate. And we were with this family, and they were doing like their game night. This obviously before COVID. And they were so into it and like bouncing ideas off and teamwork. And by the end of it, I was like, oh my God, I want this family to adopt me. And I don't like him. Oh,
that's too bad. Wow, this is a great idea. I have done a couple times the escape room dates, because like you said, mm-hmm. I always feel like it's a good way to see if you're compatible under a lot of pressure. And I'm like really competitive. And I had one time where this woman I brought on a date to an escape room, her and I, like, together we got through it, and I was like, oh, she's the one. That was before I learned about astrology and like how Capricorns and Geminis maybe not the best. So it didn't work out in the long term, but I was so set on the fact that we got through this game together, and it was a really hard escape route. Not a lot of people got through it, but we did together. So my theory may be off, but I think it's still a great date.
I agree. I do escape rooms all the time, and now here we have a mystery date, which is like escape room, but a picnic.
Oh.
So you have to like escape, you have to like do a whole bunch of clues to get all of the ingredients to your picnic, and then it ends at the picnic location.
That's so cute. Okay, that's very date specific and so romantic. My Capricorn heart. Wow, that sounds great.
What is your ideal date other than just riffing off of my idea?
I do like doing things with people, so... But I'm also a big homebody. Like, I go to a lot of parties and events and stuff, but like, I have to save up enough energy to do those things. But I am such a homebody that I am big on being like, let's cook dinner together. Let's paint and have some wine and talk and play like board games. So I feel like I'm kind of boring, and that's not everyone's vibe. So I try to go outside and do picnics.
That's so funny. Someone came over and did exactly like, they were like, oh, I'll bring my paint over. And I was like, okay, sure. This is very...
That is me.
Oh, I love me a good paint date too. Don't get me wrong. Because I, as a Cancer, I too am a homebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that for me, the concept of home is like, people are home. So it depends, I think, on the person.
Yeah.
Like, if that person makes me feel very at home, then I can go anywhere as long as they're like my home base. And I can feel that, I think, really easily with people who have good vibes.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like some first dates, it's like, I don't want to invite just anyone over to my place, or, you know, like, especially first dates, very much like third, fourth date kind of vibe. But...
Yeah. I mean, I remember college, like living in my dorm and inviting people over and being like, oh my God, I want this person to leave. And that was the worst. Like, I hate when I just want to go do my own thing mm-hmm. and someone's in my space and I'm like, okay, like whenever you want to leave. And then they just don't.
The worst. I had a date not too long ago where she drove like over an hour to come hang, and then like, we've been talking online for so long, just like as friends, and just like in person, just not the vibe, just not the vibe. And then it got later and later, and she's just the type to just talk about herself and not like rip back with me, like have a conversation. She was mostly just talking at me, and I was like, how do I get you to go home? She didn't.
Well,
she
this
just
is
stayed.
Also per culture. We talk about all the bad dates we've been on.
Next, we'll start like talking about like actual exes that we have in common. But
wait, you have a Brooklyn ex? You actually have one?
I actually do have a Brooklyn ex. Do you know her?
I don't know. Do I?
Maybe. I don't know.
Queer Black Brooklyn is like yay big.
Yeah, you probably know each other.
Ugh. There was a date recently, one of my partners went on a date with someone I had just done a podcast with, and I was like, oh my God. Like, we're just so far. Like, we're not that far.
Oh man. I can't believe that it's that small. Well, like, we say in Toronto here, like, Black queer community is very small, and it's like, mm-hmm. we know each other, like, or at least, like, if we don't know each other, the person you're dating knows them, or like, and then poly community is even smaller.
Right. So. I mean, I think I tend to date creatives, which is also its own like sub community that interacts constantly. Like, it's always like the event planners, the podcasters, the writers, like those, the social media people. So it's like there's only but so many of those people who are also Black and queer.
Yeah.
And every single time I'm like, oh, of course you know this person. Or like, I finally did like face reveal on the guy that I'm dating, and everyone was like, oh, I know him. I was like, yeah, probably.
Anyways, you wrote a book.
I did. Oh my God, the question goes, I'm waiting on my copy of your book. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I am waiting on my copy of the book. I got so excited when it came. I bought 2 copies. I sent mine back to you to be signed. So
I was incredibly anxious and depressed for months, and then I went on meds recently. I know I've been posting about it a lot, but I went on meds recently, and I didn't really know that I was depressed, I guess. Like, I thought I was just like having a bad time. I was like, oh, well, like my cousin died and all this happened, so like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then once I was on medication, I was like, oh, I was depressed. So now I have like motivation to do things, like getting, literally walking the 2 blocks at the post office, and I'm just like, oh my God, Marissa's gonna be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I also said that I was gonna come to Brooklyn to come get it. So also,
are you not
me.
Coming? I thought you.
I don't
coming.
Know when. I'm like sorting things out because it's tricky with my son's school stuff. I just have to find someone to like care for him, because like, I've had so many friends like cross the border and then they couldn't leave that day that they had planned. So I'm just like, oh my God, if I can't go back the day that I planned to go back, all my childcare stuff is gonna be messed up. But I am coming, and I'm also gonna throw a party in Brooklyn again. That is the plan.
Well, I will just send you the books since you're not coming. And as soon as you are here, I would love to see you. It'd be great.
For sure. It'll be a fun time. But tell me about your book, since I didn't get a chance to read it. Like, I want to know more.
Well, so it's a book about the internet. It is definitely very, like, queer-centric and sex-positive-centric. I talk about the rise in sex-positive education online and how it's because, like, there's such an absence of it. So there are so many, like, internet enclaves where that happens. And I talk about how queer people find community, and also, you know, how polyamorous people find community, basically like how for marginalized groups, it's really great that we have access to the internet. I talked about the digital divide and how like not everyone has the same access to internet. Mm. Even internet service providers are racist. So like they tend to focus on areas where there's more rich white people to build cell phone towers, to build internet towers, to build all of the communication devices that they need to create high-speed internet access. Obviously, there's a difference between like having dial-up in your neighborhood and having high-speed internet access. And the more that people create really cool apps, the more there's a need for high-speed. Like, you can't go on TikTok on dial-up.
Imagine.
And of course, I talked about misinformation. I mean, that was rough because, I mean, now we see it a lot with, like, anti-vax stuff, but when I was writing, we were just seeing, like, I mean, I wrote about Pizzagate, which is, like, Trump supporters thought that Hillary Clinton was kidnapping children and holding them in the basement of a pizza store, and white supremacists were radicalized to show up at a pizza store to liberate the small children they thought were hidden there. And they showed up with weapons. Obviously, there's not even a basement in that pizza place, so they were wrong.
Oh my God.
And I found like a bunch of different stories of misinformation and how it like genuinely leads to real life harm. Like, people act like digital harm only happens online. Like, you can just log off and like no big deal. So I wanted to make that connection between what we see online and what we do in real life.
Wow. So How to Live with the Internet, it's been out for how long now? Has it been?
It came out in March. I'm already working on my book proposal for my second book. So like in my head, I'm like, wow, it was so long.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so proud of like the work you've been doing and like all the things that you're able to like share. Like, does this, a lot of your knowledge of these topics, does it come from like your software developer background in addition to like your writing? Like, what inspired you to kind of get into all these topics?
I started writing and I was mostly focusing on like dating, relationships, and sex. Mm-hmm. And I wrote for Tinder for a long time. So obviously that I was writing mostly about dating, and there's like actual research on dating and relationships, and I learned a lot about how people relate to each other and about online dating, and that made me want to do coding, I guess, for dating apps. Also, like, you know, writing is just a thankless profession sometimes. Like, it's like in between projects I'd be like, oh my god, I'm so broke. I was like, I just really want insurance, that'd be nice. But I also think like when you're on social media and you're receiving like dick pics from random guys and like facing harassment, but you kind of also learn certain tools. Mm-hmm. So I think I took that with me into my software engineering courses. And then I learned a lot by being around other software engineers, because there are people who are very, very talented at software who are better than me. But I think if they don't have empathy or if they have certain biases, then those things get placed into the code. Like, I think I have my own biases that get placed into code, and I think it made me want to create safer spaces online, and it made me want to bring that into my software career. So like one example is I was working on a like an airplane flight management app. Mm-hmm. And I don't fly a lot, so I was like, oh, how much can an upgrade, like to upgrade your seat cost, like $20, like whatever. And then I'm demoing it and they're like, this is great, perfect, however, why would it be $20 to upgrade your seat? And I realized that like because I don't fly a lot, I just don't know what the price point is. So in my like dummy prices, I undershot a little bit. And I think in a broader way, if you're biased against a certain group of people or certain behaviors, that gets embedded in the code as well, even if like you try your best to be unbiased. So all of that is to say is I had all these experiences, I was writing, and I really wanted to create safe like online connective communities, and I wanted to use code to do it.
Amazing. Well, thank you for the work that you do. I'm now wondering, like, as someone who has worked in software development, do you have any like dating apps that you prefer?
Well, no. I mean, I use Tinder because I think there's just the most people on that app. So
that's what
easy.
I think too.
Right. I know a lot of people hate Tinder, but it's just the most people. Like, you get the most bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. I work for a dating app, so I'm a little biased. I work for hashtag open. I know it's only good if you live, or not only good, but it's the best if you live in a city.
Oh, hey, hashtag open.
Because otherwise I think you can struggle to find people. Okay. You still have to weed through, you know, the unicorn hunters and the whatever. So those are my two favorites. I like Field as well. I have some concerns about their interface. It's just like not intuitive, but that's a software development thing, and I don't think the majority feel that.
Interesting. I wonder, do you know if these work in Canada?
Maybe. I believe hashtag open works in Canada.
Oh, I just know like the ones that are definitely popular here, Tinder for sure. I know a lot of people use Bumble. Her and Lex, but I don't like how Lex looks.
I don't like Lex either, and it's like I do want to see what people look like.
Same.
Like, I get it, but like I still need to know. And I don't like Bumble because the whole premise is that girls hit people first. Mm-hmm. But like that only makes sense in hetero shit. So I'm confused on what you're supposed to do if you're queer on that app, and I just don't think it's radical to let girls make the first move like I make the first move all the time.
I will just sit there waiting.
I mean, right, and then like what do non-binary people do on that app? Like, yeah. Are they allowed to hit up first or no?
Who knows? This is why I've just avoided it. Because on Tinder even, and I just feel like I just know so many people that a lot of the time, and maybe you experience this too, people will match with you because they either know you from social media or they're your friend. So they're like, hey, match. Whereas I'm just like, okay, do you actually want to date? Like, what's the situation here?
Oh my God, I'm the annoying person who, if I see my friend, I'm like, swipe, besties.
So in addition to writing, do you read a lot?
I've been reading weird stuff lately. That's why I was like, oh man, is this, we're going to go into this.
Do it.
So I have never been a comic person in the past. However, the comics for Black Panther are really gay.
Yes.
Like in a way that the film is not. And I just like was in disbelief. Like the Dora Milaje are gay. And like, I was like, oh, like, let me go read and find out. And there's like so much more to that world than just Wakanda. So
are these the ones, yeah, by I was reading Roxane Gay, is that who's on it? No,
this is Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh
right, so I've been reading that, and then there's similarly, you know how Wonder Woman is one of the Amazons in the DC comics, well there is a Black trans Amazon in Nubia and the Amazons, and the Nubia is Black. So I'm reading that too.
What? That's so sick.
I'm just like, is it gay? All right. That's it.
That's awesome.
And then in terms of nonfiction, I was rereading Polysecure by Jessica Fern because I like skimmed it the first time and I wanted to like more sit with it. And I recently bought the Polyamory Breakup book by Kathy Labriola. I just opened up my Kindle for, you know, the author of that one. And those are just because I want to expand my language. They talk about polyamory. There are things that you can like feel and know, and then like the language that you use is important. And I want to make sure I am communicating effectively when it comes to polyamory.
Those are some good ones. Polysecure has been on my list, but I'm trying not to buy any more books right now because if you could only see my bookshelf of all these books that I've just been like buying and buying and buying and just not making the time to read them. I still have to get into The Ethical Slut, which has been on like...
I mean, that one is like... it's so basic at this point that like you don't even need to read it.
Really?
The internet, like all those little like quote banner slideshow things on polyamory, like is basically The Ethical Slut, like you're fine.
So Polysecure is definitely the one then.
Yeah, I really like Polysecure. It's so interesting that I bought the Polyamory Breakup book because I just wondered... Mm-hmm. Like what was in it, and then now one of my partners is going through a breakup and I'm like, ooh, do I give her the book? It's so hard watching the person you love go through a breakup. It's like really hard.
It is. I can't even, in my like polyam like experience, I've always been like solo poly, so I've never really considered myself to be like completely polyam because I've never been in a situation where I had a partner I've just dated. So I never even think about like these parts of things where you have a partner that has a breakup, or I've always read about things where it's like issues with metamors, and that's things I've had to try to like navigate. But
I have been so lucky, so lucky. I have no metamor issues.
Amazing.
All my metamors are popping. However, this dude broke up with my partner, and now the whole poly crew wants to commit murder. I didn't know that was a feeling that I could feel.
Oh.
I was like, why would you break up with our girlfriend?
Oh. No, like, actually so heartbreaking. It's a breakup for everyone.
Oh. Right? And then, like, so the night it happened, I was like, nah, he's not gonna break up with you. Like, who would break up with you? You're the best. And then I guess she sent a mass text to everyone being like, so I was right. And now not only do I have to be like, my fault, like I was wrong, but I'm also like, well, now we ride at dawn for this man, because how dare he?
Oh, I wonder, like, that kind of shifts your whole relationship amongst, like, is it the three?
Well, I wasn't dating him.
Okay. So not much shifting.
Not for me. No. I mean, it does suck because I think my life is going a lot better because antidepressants. And, you know, I don't want to make someone feel bad that I'm good. Mm-hmm. And then the day that I found out I had done acid that morning, and I was like, I'm gonna be honest, like, it's really hard for me to take anything seriously right now, but I'll come over.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm thinking back to any time that I've done acid and just, like, everything's out the window. I have to, like, not be on my phone. I just have to be outside in nature and just breathing, existing.
Yeah, I was like, full disclaimer, I did acid today, so I want to you to know if I laugh inappropriately, like, it's not on me. if I am not as serious as I need to be for this very serious situation, like, in advance, my fault.
Oh, good for you for still being able to, like, you know, go through with having a conversation, because I could not. I'd have to, everything has to be canceled. But, like, speaking on, like, polyamory and non-monogamy, do you, of course, have you seen a lot of misconceptions? Like, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you hear about this lifestyle?
I think, in general, it's that people don't understand the atmosphere of care that is involved. Like, they think it's just, like, I get to just do whatever I want and that I don't have to have check-in conversations. I mean, queer people are already, like, over-processed together, and then, like, you add polyamory, and it's, like, most of the relationship is me having 8-hour processing conversations, and it's not as much of, like, the kink as people think. Not that there's no kink in my life at all, but it definitely is secondary to the amount of communication and transparency, and it's hard for anyone when they're making a shift. But it was definitely hard for me when my mental health was not, like, A1, and I didn't even know. I was like, I'm not depressed. It's hard when you're, like, also trying to get your mental health together, or you have partners who are trying to get their mental health together, and you're also, like, trying to, like, dismantle mononormative thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think people just think that there are, like, people who are greedy and selfish who just migrate to this lifestyle, and that there's no work involved, and that's not true.
Yeah, I agree. Like, in Toronto, I don't know if maybe it's just, like, Toronto queers, but I have been in, like, Sun Dynamics where they just didn't really do much research on what polyamory is or what it can be, and then might have, like, created a, like, relationship dynamic with people that was more out of, like, just wanting a bit of everything, and then leaving such a bad taste in other people who genuinely are interested in the lifestyle. So yeah, I haven't had much luck, and a lot of people I found have had a harder time, like, navigating dating and, like, finding people because of these same misconceptions, or a lot of people are in monogamous relationships when they really could do well in a polyamorous or non-monogamous. Like, I think people aren't aware, especially, like, Black queer community aren't aware of the different options. Like, not only is there the ability to be polyamorous, but there's also just being, like, open sexually, non-monogamous in that way, having it hierarchical or not having it hierarchical.
Yeah, definitely. I have the blessing of being on Instagram, and people just honestly flit in my DMs. So, like, I don't have, like, that, like, awkward, like, shifting through Tinder or swiping to find polyamorous people. I think that is why my dynamics are working out so well. It was, like, people already kind of know what my politics are and how my relationships look, and that's not a benefit that everyone has. Mm-hmm. I know that other people are not having the same time, and I'm always, like, very nervous to start dating people beyond who I'm already dating and be disappointed or heartbroken. I mean, I'm watching my partner go through this breakup, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's, like, terrifying me, because this person was like, I think I want to do monogamy. And I'm like, oh my God, I would be devastated. That's not, like, so now I'm I think I want to do more intentional fielding of potential partners through my Instagram. Like, mm-hmm. if I meet them on a dating app, then, like, divert them to Instagram so we can, like, see who the other person is before we actually take any big steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very nervous to date someone who is not 100% settled on polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, like, Olivia was monogamous before me, and now she's like, oh my god, polyamory is the best. So, like, it does work out for people who are new, but it's just, like, really scary to take that risk.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you if you've ever had a partner who was monogamous and, like, navigating that, because I've had situations where I've dated someone knowing that I was poly, and then they were just straight up like, I'm monogamous. And I'm like, how is this good? How do we do this?
Yeah.
And then I just, like, ended things because I was like, I don't know how to navigate this in a way that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. With Liv, it was like, I'd already posted a lot on Instagram before we hung out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hung out and I was like, so... I'm polyamorous. She was like, yeah, I know, I follow you on Instagram. I was like, oh, right. Cool. Like, that really helps. And at first I was really scared that it wouldn't work out, that she would decide against it. So, mm-hmm. like, the fact that we were able to create a sustainable relationship, I was like, okay, like, you can't, you know, try your luck too many times. I better just focus on people who are more experienced for now. Because I'm so scared of having my little heart broken.
Of course. Do you have any tips that you would give for just being in a healthy polyam relationship?
I mean, I guess there are so many different tips, though, like, and for different problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I have come to a realization on is that there's, like, this image of perfect polyamory that exists, particularly on, like, Line. And it's just not realistic to expect people to out of the gate be that perfect image. Like, you have to slowly dismantle mononormative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So accepting where you're at or where your partner is at on the way to that, I think, is key. Like, being like, okay, like, I may still have, like, these thoughts around hierarchy, or I still may have these thoughts on, like, only wanting to date in these particular contexts, and I'm working on it. I do understand that I have these thoughts, or my partner has these thoughts, but, like, just relieving yourself of some of the pressure of perfect polyamory, I think, is key, because otherwise you're just going to keep things in and end up not doing well in it.
Absolutely. Thank you for those tips, because I am learning so much right now. I'm just like, oh, so it is possible to navigate even just, like, being polyamorous and having someone who is a partner that is monogamous and what that could look like. Y'all are so cute online.
Thank you. I'm always like, oh no, I'm one of those people who, like, had a normal page and then started dating someone and then has a couple page. Now I'm like dating someone else, and I'm like, oh no, by the end of it, it's just gonna be like me and them and, like, no other posts. Everyone's gonna hate it. But I have a big heart.
Oh, it's so sweet.
I know. I have just a big heart, and, like, all I think about all day is, I'm like, I wonder what they're thinking about.
It's probably you.
I hope so.
All right, well, I want to talk more about, like, your sex positive your sex positive post that you create on Instagram. You share a lot about, like, sex toys, some that I've actually, like, went out and bought because your review for them looks so good. What do you wish people knew more when it came to sex?
So much. There's just so many misconceptions in all of these topics. I mean, I think there's, first of all, this idea that, like, if you use toys, that they're not real parts of sex.
Mm.
That, like, you have to orgasm with someone, like, manually or using their mouth or something, instead of, like, using a toy. And if you rely on toys, then, like, it's not real. I think that was a huge thing that I had to work on, because I think especially I date a lot of people on antidepressants, and it'd be hard to come on those.
Mm.
It's like, you can't set restrictions on how people feel most comfortable coming, if they even do, because some people are anorgasmic.
Oh, and, like, if it's too personal, you don't have to share. But like in starting your antidepressants, like how soon did you start to notice that? Like, was it like right away? Because I was like thinking about going on some and I had bad reaction to one that I took. So I've just been like scared to try again. But
it wasn't like the first day, but like maybe the first week I was like, oh, it's slightly harder. And like now I'm like a month in and I'm like, yeah, it's not happening as quickly as it did before. It's not happening at all, but it's certainly a lot more difficult. I will say it's so nice to be happy and I definitely prefer that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just a little orgy. It'll be fine.
Exactly. As long as you can still have fun. And being happy mm-hmm. overall, I think might be a lot better than a one-time orgasm.
I had to like I was like when I got prescribed I'm like talking to my psychiatrist and I'm like, okay, so this may be, I don't know, TMI, we haven't known each other that long, but I really don't want to not be able to come. And he was like, okay, but like, do you want to be happy? And I was like, okay.
Oh, I wouldn't even know how to have the conversation with my doctor. I just feel like, damn. But it's important.
It was so awkward.
So important, because yeah, you could have been in a whole other place. But oh, so something that like I found as difficult with coming more into my like sexy self, and why I'm so happy to like follow people like you who are also Black and also sharing content about sex positivity, is that I dealt with a lot of like shame in like my sexuality, like growing up in church, just like feeling dirty about things, and just like that overall feeling of like this is disgusting, like you can't feel good about these things. And like I became sexually active from like the age of 14, and then just anytime I would have sex or even just like touch myself, I would just like instantly feel like disgusting. I cannot do that again. And it feels like it's only within the last like 3-4 years that I've actually started to enjoy sex. And I'm like, damn, why did I spend so many years thinking that I was gross for enjoying something that's supposed to be enjoyable? You know, like, is that something that you've ever had to deal with? Like, do you have things that you've kind of had to unlearn about sex?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main part is that like something exists in your body when you learn shame. So it's not like you just have to unlearn it mentally. Like you have to learn it in your body. You have to feel it. And even, you know, I had the same thing, like when I lost my, I don't like the term lost my virginity, but for lack of a better term, when I had my sexual debut, I had so much shame. And I remember like talking to my boyfriend at the time about it, and he was like, oh my God, but it's fine because like we're gonna get married. And I was like, that doesn't make me feel better. And then we didn't get married, obviously, like but it was really hard to like move from the shame that I had just like learned. And even at my most sex positive, like after I was already posting and writing and I was like, I have conquered this problem, I went on a PR trip to Hedonism, which is the sex resort in Jamaica. I went, like they invited me for free, and I felt pretty good while I was there. But then as soon as we like got in the van to go home, my whole body was like just so shame filled. And I had like the worst panic attack on the plane, which is terrible because this person who was sitting in my row was like, are you Gab Alexa? And I was like, now is not a good time. Like, I was just like having, I mean, the worst reaction to it, because like people had been walking around naked, like it was like a nudist resort, first of all. And I felt like just my presence there could be something I should be ashamed of. And I was like, wow, like I'm supposed to be the Gab Alexa, and I'm still working through shame narratives. That sucks.
Yeah.
But meditation really helps. Being around sex positive people really helps. The more that I have friends and partners who I can talk to about kink, and like I've now been to more sex parties and I don't have that same like shame response, I feel like just immersing myself in other sex positive people, I feel like that is like tricky.
Yeah, I think Yeah, that definitely makes it a whole world of a difference, because it's when the people who are so against all of that start to hear about this, that's when it starts to really like get to your head, when it really shouldn't. But with all of that said, what makes you feel sexy?
My antidepressants make me feel sexy, hey. Which is so funny. Like, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, oh, I look so good. And my Olivia, my girlfriend, was like, oh, so I see like the antidepressants have started working, because for the longest I just was not feeling like myself. Mm. And I didn't even notice. I just thought, I was like, oh, I guess I just feel not sexy. And who knew, like, they, like a common quote I feel like all these like Instagram sex educators say, and I say it too, is that your libido is really connected to your mood. And if you're depressed all the time, it's so hard to feel sexy. You know, self-care is the first step to feeling sexy.
Well, you always look good, in my opinion.
So thank you.
You're doing that thing.
We're gonna have a date too.
Down if you're down.
Down if you're down.
So I see you've got to go, because Olivia, you've got some plans later, yeah?
Yeah, I have plans after this, but, you know, I had a great time.
I had a lovely time, too. Yeah, we should do this again.
Oh, absolutely. Date two.
Yeah.
I'll plan it this time.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. Escape room?
Oh, escape room. You're right.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
All right. I don't mean to be cocky or anything, but I'm feeling like a second date is definitely happening in the near future. You can connect with Gabrielle on Instagram. Her Instagram is GABALXA. Make sure you go and grab a copy of her book called How to Live with the Internet, out now. You can find it on all of the places where you buy books. Thanks so much again for joining me on that date, and I'll see you at the next one. Who will it be this time?